What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
Oh, welcome everybody to A Gal and a Gay. This is Kitty.
And I'm Mick. Kitty is having a little PTSD because we did a couple interviews and they were through Zoom, which is also video, not just audio.
It's a video chat. I'm not. I don't like seeing myself, and it just makes me anxious. Like, it just makes me freeze up. So you'll notice Mitch does a lot of the talking in these interviews. That's because, well, one, I'm terrible interviewing. I'm a producer. I'm behind the scenes, and he's the face of this. He's the talent, as we call it on the news.
We are both the talent.
Yes,
in this
I know. But you're used to this stuff. I'm not. So anyway. I digress. Let's move on to what we're here for, Kansas City Film Festival.
This is our continuing coverage of the,
yes,
of the 2018 Casey Film Fest. It is exciting. We haven't picked up our badges yet.
No, not yet.
But, and you know what? We did not mention the Rudy has, we have two passes for Rudy's.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
We'll mention that. We'll go back. We'll mention our other podcast. But again, we have two passes for his film in the Gray Place.
In this Gray Place.
For Friday evening. Mm-hmm. So contact us if you want to see his film. And we will get you hooked up with passes and you can watch the film with us.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. Just contact us through email. First come, first serve. We're going to say that. So, anyway.
Yeah. And also be aware, you need to get your passes early for films because a lot of these films, they sell out before the fest even begins.
Yeah.
Patrick Ray, we will be talking with him in a couple of minutes. And I believe his 6 p.m. showing of Belong to Us could be close to sold out, if not sold out.
No, I'm pretty sure the first one sold out.
Well,
no.
Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying.
But you still need to listen to Patrick's interview.
I see.
Yeah. I'm the talent.
Well, that's a producer. I'm like, that's not accurate. Right. It's sold out.
Sometimes you have to do a little finagling and finessing.
And I'm like, no, let's get the facts right.
Fake news.
Right.
But anyway, so you can...
There is another screening on Sunday.
So Film Fest, it is fantastic. We're really excited. In this episode, we will be talking to Savannah Rogers. She is also a local filmmaker with connections to Patrick Ray, the other director that we've known for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah just recently graduated from KU Film School. Patrick is a film school alumni from KU. And we have a really strong film community in Kansas City.
We really do,
A lot of people don't even think of Kansas City when they think of films. But again, we have a lot of production companies. We have a lot of young filmmakers who are very creative. And they produce some really strong independent films.
Interesting independent films, yeah.
And that's what the Casey Film Fest is all about. So
anyway, so we're gonna talk to Savannah Rogers, director of Dragtivist. Very interesting little film. So take a listen to her interview.
Savannah Rogers joins us now. She is the filmmaker of a short that you can see this week at the Casey Film Festival. It's called The Dragtivist. And Savannah, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is rad. I've never done a Zoom before, so this is exciting. New experiences all the time.
It's pretty exciting because when we did it for the first time, we realized that when it records the video separate from the audio. So for podcasting...
So it makes it much easier to edit.
It makes it super easy.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So shout out to Zoom. Hopefully they'll sponsor our podcast and we're looking.
It would be nice. I wish. Yeah.
Okay. So Savannah, tell us a little bit about yourself. We know that you went to KU and I take it that you were probably a film major.
Yeah, definitely. I've known what I've wanted to do since I was about, you know, like 16. And I know not everybody's that way, but I feel very lucky that the whole time I was there, I was very focused on getting everything I could out of film school. But I've been making films for 3.5 years now, you know, writing for longer, just trying to practice as much as possible. And I've been doing the film festival circuit for the last 3 years, just trying to, you know, meet as many people and see as many movies as possible and to keep improving the craft.
So where'd your love of film come from?
I saw Chasing Amy when I was 12 years old, which is way too young to see that movie ever. My mom hates when I say that, but you know, it's it really was a transformative film for me. It was my first time ever seeing any kind of LGBT representation on screen. The first time I could put into words how I felt about sexuality. And, you know, I think it's such an underrated film. You know, I even got like the Criterion.
Yeah, I see that back there.
Mm-hmm. That was a gift. But you know, it was a very impactful film for me. And so ever since then, I just wanted to try to do something that spoke to me even half as much. And, you know, I think I'm in a passionate pursuit of that feeling that I had when I saw it for the first time.
So how did you come about to figure out that you wanted to create your latest film, The Dragtivist?
Well, so it was my last film school project, and Dragtivist, you know, it really, you know, it just everything really came together. Our advisor on the project was Dave Lacey, who is the executive producer of Paris is Burning. And we wanted to kind of examine the intersection of drag and activism because, you know, people don't think that exists much at all, let alone in Kansas. You know, I was just at the Vail Film Festival and I had an amazing time there. And the question I kept getting was, there are activist drag queens in Kansas. Are there drag queens in Kansas? You know, and, you know, these stories exist, you know, in the flyover states and people don't know about them. And so it's been a really cool experience, like showing other people like, hey, this exists and people are doing really radical things here, you know, even if you wouldn't expect it.
All right. Tell us about the characters you feature in your film. How did you meet them? And, you know,
Right. So Rayfield Lawrence is who is just beautiful in and out of drag, like, like distracting, like beautiful, you know, no matter what. I met him through some activist work he was doing. You know, when I was in college, I would show up to as many, you know, activist things as possible because I really do think that, you know, social movements need video, you know. And if you want to try to, you know, control the message that you have, I wanted to just like give them the footage and have the footage for myself, you know, just to try to help as much as possible. And so I met Ray through that. He was leading like a Black Lives Matter, Trans Lives Matter protest on campus that you see in the film. And I met Kaith. They're a student at KU and I met them through one of my classes and I found out that the two of them did drag and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And, you know, they were very cooperative because, you know, I imagine that drag queens appreciate attention. So having a camera follow you around isn't too bad.
I also liked how some films you would start with them transforming, but how you did it at the end and you did the reverse. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose to do it that way?
Well, I think, you know, seeing them transform at the beginning of the film may have been a little on the nose. And I think we were tempted to go in that direction, but we get some really good feedback, you know, during our rough cut phase, you know, just talking about, well, you know, starting with the activist portion of it, you know, it really kind of, you know, hooks you like, oh, what's this film gonna be? And, you know, it kind of takes away the shiny, obvious objects, I think, and makes you kind of wait for it because everybody wants to see the transformation. And I think if you wait for that, you know, after caring about these characters during, you know, the very lengthy 7 minutes that we have together, I think it pays off better.
How long did it take you guys to shoot it?
I think shooting wise, it was just a couple months of getting stuff. You know, we knew we wanted it to be a really short piece because we wanted it to be kind of a thing where it was making people aware of it. You know, I had never done a documentary before, and so this is my first, you know, real attempt at that. And we just wanted to kind of shine a light on the fact that this exists. And, you know, obviously there's room for a longer piece with more of, you know, like a first, second, and third act, you know, kind of to wrap it all up neatly. But, you know, the biggest thing I get from this is, you know, like, thank you. I didn't know that this was a thing before you, you know, told me. You know, I tried to screen it in as many places as possible. But even, you know, the people in Vail, Colorado were like, that's a thing. You know, I didn't know that. So that's been the fun part about it.
So how difficult was it whittling it down to those, it's less than 10 minutes.
Yeah. It was a tough post-production process for sure. It took a little bit. We wanted to get it exactly right. We wanted to bring in somebody amazing for the music. So we brought in Nathan Towns, who's fantastic at what he does. But post-production definitely took the longest part of it. You know, I think we did the rough cut in December. We finished the final cut that you saw in May, you know, just to try to get it as right as possible. Just nitpicking, putting it away for a week or two, coming back to it like, oh, okay, here's my new perspective on it. But yeah.
Any plans to make a longer docuseries or documentary on this?
Not right now. You know, I've got a lot of different ideas of stuff I'd like to do, but I feel like this pretty much encompasses a lot of how I felt about it and more like what I wanted to say with it. I think there, it would be great to do, you know, more on it, but you know, documentaries take a long time. And, you know, I really want it to be a project that really pushes me in a new direction forward.
So this isn't the only film that you're involved with at the KC Film Festival.
Yeah.
You had to work with Patrick Ray, who we've also interviewed for his film. Tell us what role did you play on his film?
So I was the first AD and a co-producer on the feature film Belong to Us, starring Ryan O'Nan and, you know, directed by Patrick. And it was a really cool experience because it was my first feature that I'd ever worked all the way through. And, you know, it was definitely, I was still in film school when we did it, and it was definitely a great crash course. And okay, this is how you be a first AD professionally. This is how you be a producer professionally and take this and run with it. You know, and Patrick's been a great friend and a great mentor to me for a long time now. And so it was a fantastic experience, honestly. And I'm really excited that we get to share it with everybody at KC Film Fest.
So what are your plans for the future? Are you going to stay in Kansas City and make films? Do you think you're going to move out to Hollywood? What do you think?
Ideally, my partner and I would like to go to New York. Mm-hmm. That's just where we like it, like as a, you know, in terms of like living. But I'd really like to be a showrunner, which probably necessitates at some point I'll have to live in LA.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I'm going to stay in Kansas City. I've got a studio residency with Charlotte Street. And I'm really enjoying just taking my time and trying to make the best first projects I can and trying to develop before, you know, before the stakes are different, I guess. And it's, you know, it's more economical to live here, you know, and I've got family here. I always have a pug babysitter. It's fantastic.
Well, and hopefully one day Kansas City and Missouri will get those tax credits back so we can see more productions and stuff come to our area. So we
absolutely
need to work on.
The dream always was to be able to make TV and then bring it back here to be able to hire my friends and whatnot for local crews and stuff like that. You know, I would love it if that could happen.
Excellent. Well, Savannah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about your film, which debuts this Friday, 2:30, at the KC Film Fest. Of course, we'll have all information on our Facebook page and all that good stuff. So, excellent. We look forward to keeping track of your career, because I think you are off to a fantastic start. So,
thank you both so much for having me.
Okay, from Savannah. Now we're going to move on to our interview with Patrick Ray. And again, the two of them, so she's not just promoting her film,
right,
but she will also be around to talk about the role she played in his film,
right,
as well.
That's right. So take a listen to Patrick Ray, director of Belong to Us.
All right. So Patrick Ray is joining us now. Patrick, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us about your new film, Belong to Us, that will be at the KC Film Fest this week.
That's right. It's going to be on Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. So we're really excited to be showing the film. And full disclosure, we finished the movie last week.
Wow.
Literally, it was getting finished with color and sound as of last week. So
wow.
It's just part of the process. I mean, we were taking it right up to the deadline. So
okay, so I have to ask you this. How could you submit it, and how could you get into the film fest if you were editing it?
I submitted a cut of the film that had everything. It was the locked cut of the movie. It just didn't have final score and final color. So it had all the, everything else was in there. There were a couple shots in there that were like stand-in shots because I had some shots I needed to replace. But the movie, the cut was there. It just needed to have its score and its color, which is kind of like the last two ingredients to add to the film. And color just takes so much time. I had my film before this screen and premiere in London, and we were basically finishing the color right up until I had to mail it to London. Wow. So it just takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so tell us how did this film, I mean, you've done so many different films, but how did this one come about? And I was really excited about it because it involved animals and dogs. And I love
yes.
dogs, but I also yes. know how difficult it is to work with animals.
Amber Rapp wrote the screenplay, and she originally was going to direct the film, and through some circumstances decided that it would be best if somebody else did. So she called me up, and we had worked together on several short films. And I said yes. And it was one of those things where I wasn't sure I wanted to do it because I had been kind of building a catalog of films that were more tension-based, suspense-based. But then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, this might be the best thing I can do for myself is make something that's a little bit outside of my wheelhouse. And then it would diversify myself as a director and you know, allow myself to be, you know, more marketable, I guess, as a filmmaker. So I took it on. Of course, the cardinal rule is no kids, no animals in a low-budget film. And we had both. And I managed to survive. I mean, we were really lucky because we ended up using Amber's dog for the film. And the name of the dog in the movie is Duke. And, of course, she wrote it after her dog. So and then we hired a dog trainer to be on set. And he actually worked with the dog and did an amazing job. And then we just went through a lot the casting process was very, very long. We spent about a month just seeing different actors, different kids, and seeing who would be best fit for the roles. And we got a great cast together, and we were very lucky. And it was a very pleasurable shoot. I mean, it was challenging the fact that the movie has like 100 scenes. If you were to break down the screenplay, it has 100 individual scenes, which is a lot for a low budget movie. And my last couple films, feature films, had been primarily location based, meaning that we had basically two or three major locations at the most. And this movie had like, I'm guessing maybe 25 locations. I mean, we just had a ton of different places that we had to film. So it was the ingredients for potential disaster, and we managed to really make it work and really do a good job. And the crew was fantastic. Everybody's spirits were high the whole time we were filming. The biggest challenge I think we had was we shot in the hottest months of the year. So we had a couple days where it was getting into the 100 degree range, maybe 105 with the heat index. So there was one day where we had to do a scene with the family vehicle, and the family vehicle just wouldn't start. So we had to come up with an alternate scene that didn't involve that. I mean, literally they had to tow it away. I don't know if it ever got started again. And so we didn't have it for the rest of the shoot. So we basically had to just kind of come up with an alternate scene for that scene. And so, and there was a day where we were filming a baseball scene in 100-degree weather, and there was a real baseball team there in full uniform. And it was, you know, I tried to keep things moving fast because I don't want people out there collapsing, you know, and we were just throwing people water bottles every 5 minutes to make sure they were properly hydrated. But you know, those are the kind of things that you like, no matter how much planning you do for a movie, you can shot list the movie, you can storyboard, you can get all your locations locked, but you can't control the weather. So there were days where it rained and we had to, you know, move things around and shoot scenes that were inside instead. And those are just kind of things you just have to be kind of flexible. But it was tricky with this movie because it was like with the schedule, it was because there was like 100 different scenes. It was like a house of cards. If we move this scene, that means these scenes have to go. And then we had all these actor schedules. We had an actor named Ryan Onan who flew in from LA, and we only had him for a specific amount of days. So we had to get all of his scenes shot by the time he had to fly out. So it was one of those things where if something got shuffled, we had to make sure that it didn't somehow, you know, cause a domino effect on his schedule. So, I mean, those are the things that with independent filmmaking and just have to be always on your toes about. So I think it's important. I always tell people when they're making a full length movie is to prep as much as you can ahead of time, because you're going to have a bunch of weird stuff happen that you didn't expect. Like an actor will get sick, or the car won't start, or, you know, there'll be a tornado warning, something like that. And you just have to be like willing to accept that some of that stuff is out of your control, but whatever you can control, you should probably have a battle plan for. So
where you filmed this all in the Kansas City area?
Yeah. Well, okay. So we shot a lot of it in Shawnee.
Ooh, okay.
And we shot a couple scenes in Old Shawnee Town. And then we did a bunch of locations in Peculiar, Missouri.
I saw that water tower.
Yeah, scene. I did too.
Yeah, yeah. So luckily it was crazy. We needed a dress shop, a vet clinic, and a bar. And they were all like right there. We could just park and we could walk to any of them. It was almost like being on like a back lot, you know? And the police station was right there. So we could just go in and say, hey, this is what we're doing. We're not trying to be weird. We're just making a movie. And they knew ahead of time what we were doing. So we would just, you know, we would shoot at the vet clinic and then go over to the dress shop and then have lunch at the bar and then film at the bar. And it was all within walking distance. It was very, very cool. And the people there were just super hospitable, and they, you know, we went back to that bar maybe four times to shoot stuff. Cause the movie took some time to shoot. Like we had some delays in production, like every independent film has. So we would shoot a couple scenes and then we'd have to come back later. And then I decided in the editing room, because I also edited the film, that I needed some extra shots. So we would go back and they would be very like, they'd be very cool about us being there. So
going back to the bar, and also you're talking about the baseball team that was there. When you didn't shut down the bar, did you, for filming?
No, that was kind of tricky.
Say, do you have to get releases from everyone that?
Luckily for several of the scenes, the majority of everybody's out of focus. So they're completely out of focus. So you don't see their faces. You only see the main actors. So we didn't have to worry about that. And then there was one night where we had a scene outside of the bar. They had like a back patio area, and they worked with us to keep it quiet. Mm. And it worked out. I was worried about sound that day, but it really worked out. And again, like you know, we're focused on the leads, and everybody else, they're basically silhouetted in the background. So we didn't have to worry about releases as much. But any featured extras, we definitely took care of that.
Okay, so how did you find, we were talking about how difficult it is to work with animals.
Yes.
Kids are, that's also kind of can be a little.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like, we lucked out with Brooklyn Funk, who was our lead actress. Cause she was like, hey, we're going on, it's going to be a long day, Brooklyn. And she's just like, okay, it's fine. Whatever. She was very patient. But there were a couple days where I was like, let's keep this moving. You know, we had a dance, a daddy daughter dance for that's what we shot at old Shawneetown. And I mean, they were only giving us 3 or 4 hours to shoot that scene. So I only had 3 or 4 hours to keep the, you know, the kids there. So that worked out. But it just made it very stressful in the sense that, okay, I got to get this scene entirely covered in a 3 to 4 hour period. You got to figure, you got to light the scene. You got to work with the actors and block it out and all that. So there's just, there was a lot of song and dance, I guess is the appropriate way of putting it. And then there was a kickball scene, and that was, again, that was in the morning. We tried to, cause that was going to be on one of those 100-degree days. So we were like, let's try to start that at 8 AM or, you know, so that it's not quite 100 degrees while we're shooting it. And it was funny because the entire field was in shadow, and I was like watching the shadow slowly move and the sun start to, I'm like, we got to get this scene shot before those kids are in direct sun. So their parents are like sitting there, you know, watching, and I'm like, we got to keep it moving. These kids are going to start dying out there. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you just have to, you know, keep moving. So.
Excellent. So so what do you hope audiences take away from Belong to Us?
Well, I hope they just smile by the end of the movie. I like a lot of my films, you don't necessarily smile at the end unless you might smile
throughout. Again, like you were mentioning at the beginning, when I saw the premise, I'm like, oh my god, we're gonna see a dog fight. How is Patrick gonna do a dog fight? I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this.
Tastefully, very tastefully. I mean, that was one of those things where we, you know, there's a dogfight in the film, and it's done in a way that is not offensive or gratuitous in any way. I mean, I want people to come out of the movie happy, I guess, because, you know, and this is my first family film, and, you know, my last couple horror films have been, I mean, I wouldn't say they're downers, but they're certainly not like crowd pleaser, you know, people happy afterwards.
You're not going to see your horror movies on the Hallmark Channel, but I think this
right. So, I mean, it was interesting because I didn't want this to look like the average family film. Because I had my regular DP shoot the film, and I said, I want this to look kind of contrasty. I don't want this to be flat looking. I want this to kind of have a little bit of an edgy look to it in places so that it doesn't feel too saccharine, you know what I'm saying? Too typical family film. So I'm hoping that we were able to find a good happy medium there where it looks a little bit more cinematic and more gritty versus just the typical family film you might see.
All right, so who will be with you this week to promote the film at KC Film Fest?
Obviously Amber Rapp will be there. I think my DP Hahnemann Brown Eagle will be there. Savannah Rogers, who is a producer on the film, she'll be there. And I'm sure that a lot of the actors are going to be there. I think a couple of them are flying in for it. So I'm pretty excited to see them and see how they feel about the film. And I think they're going to be pleased and I think it's going to be a good turnout. So,
have they not seen it?
Nope. Oh. No. Look, the only people who have seen the finished version of the movie are the producers and obviously probably the colorist, because the sound guy who was putting all the sound together with the score didn't see the final color. So, yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. But I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased with it. So,
that's awesome.
Cool.
All right. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to us about your latest film. I mean, was 2001 as far back, like it's when you first started?
I mean, yeah, I was in college. So I went to KU, and so I started making little short films that I started putting in the film festivals. Some of them are pretty terrible, but you know, they just got to start somewhere. I mean, they're not as bad as the ones I made in high school, which those are like, mom, do not show those to anyone. Yeah, I mean, I started really getting into it at KU and haven't stopped since, and I hope that it keeps going. So
is that how you connected with Savannah? Because I know you've been a mentor of hers for quite some time.
It's so odd. I met her through another filmmaker at like a restaurant, and she and I immediately, I kind of took her under my, you know, I kind of mentored her, and she's doing absolutely fantastic. But she's also a KU student, and I'm happy that she's having a lot of success. And she's like, you know, what, 23, 24? She's already doing really good, so she's gonna be fine. At 23, 24, I'm like, where's my next meal coming from? I don't know.
Well, it just goes to show you what a strong film community we have here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think so.
It's going to get stronger.
Yeah, I hope so. I definitely hope so. I think it's a good community where people are kind of lifting each other up and continuing to grow, and a lot of people are staying in the area rather than going off to Los Angeles because they want to be able to, live, you know, in an area where they, you know, they can afford it and they can still make movies and have a nice life, I guess.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Patrick, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you at the
All right, see ya.
All right, there you go.
See, and I didn't even mention Star Wars.
I know, thank God.
Patrick and I can go off on a tangent talking about Star Wars.
But we didn't have that much time this time.
We did not.
That's right.
And the thing is, I could have worked it in.
I know you could have.
I don't know if you noticed, but when we were interviewing Savannah, it was video. You guys didn't see
it. Oh, I saw the Star Wars Trooper. Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Oh, it was close.
Oh, I saw it.
I came so close to asking her about it, but I decided not to.
I almost made a comment, too, that there's also loads of Star Wars stuff in Mick's office.
I know. Yeah. And I thought, Patrick, did you guys bond over Star Wars? Because he mentioned how they just hit it off.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling that Star Wars
played it brings a lot of people together. Really
the Force is strong.
The Force is strong.
Very.
So the Force works.
Very strong. Okay, so Patrick's new film, Belong to Us, premiering at KC Film Fest Thursday, 6 p.m., and then they will have another showing on Sunday afternoon.
Yes, it's a really enjoyable film, so if you get a chance to go see it, I recommend it. We recommend it. So, yeah. Until next time.
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on all the good
social media. A gal Facebook. And a gay.
Not a gal and a gay. Everyone thinks it's a gal.
Everyone thinks it's a gal and a gay. I know.
A gal and a gay.
You can also find us at a gal and a gay. podcast.com. That is our website. Look forward to more Kansas City Film Festival stuff. You can find more information online and on our social media pages as well. So until next time, bye-bye.
Bye guys.